Welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the word of God, you are encouraged and challenged and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
So I want to talk about something that I shared on Tuesday. The Lord put it on my heart to share this at our prayer meeting because I wanted us to pray into something in particular. And the Lord put on my heart, because Heath has been talking about trees, and what was impressed upon me was the palm tree. The palm tree. Song of Solomon 7, verse 7, and please no giggles at this, all right? The stature of yours is like a palm tree, and your breasts like its clusters. The stature of yours is like a palm tree. This is the Beloved speaking to the Shulamite. The Beloved is a type of Christ, and the Shulamite represents the believer in the church. So Christ is saying that you, your stature is like that of a palm tree. And then in Psalm 92:12, which is really interesting about what you just shared, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. So three quick points about a palm tree. Firstly, the palm tree is not affected by drought. It's not affected by drought. It is not affected by its external circumstances. In fact, it's not affected by extended drought where it lives. It's not affected by high levels of salt content in the earth in which it is planted, and is not affected by heat. It has been created in a way. Oh man. It has been created in a way that it can store its own water. Just like a camel. Rob McFarland told me that. Just like a camel. Where is he? There he is. The water is stored in these masses of short, intricate roots, thin root systems in its base. The water is drawn up and stored inside its trunk. And its leaves also hold water. It's not dependent on external circumstances to water it. It comes from within. You know, Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Your innermost being, he was saying. The heart, the womb. Hallelujah. That's what Christians have been created like. He can also resist the toxins contained in the high salt levels. Anybody know what lots of salt does to a person? Dries you out. It also poisons your system. And yet the palm tree can survive where other plants would die. Why? Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the world. It can manage its own salt levels. It keeps the toxins out. And, hallelujah, listen to this as well. It is protected from high levels of heat. Psalm 121, 5-6 says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Jesus is the one in the furnace with us. We have been created to withstand extended drought. Anybody feel dry at the moment? Hallelujah, come on. I've got to be conscious about saying hallelujah now. I meant to keep it down a little bit, not say it so many times. Yeah? Yeah, you can tell me off on Facebook if you want to. Put it in the text. Yes. Extended drought, high levels of salt with toxins in it, and too much heat. And I felt a lot of heat lately in my life. I don't know about you, but I've been created to survive it. Are we of supply from Jesus? Are we drawing our source of supply from Jesus? He is our source of water. Secondly, The palm tree is evergreen. Evergreen. Its leaves are always green. We are also able to produce green leaves in any season and fruit as well. Do you know something interesting about the date palm in Israel? It can produce up to 250 pounds of fruit a year. 250 pounds. That's just not one or two apples, is it? That's the clusters of grapes it produced, dates. Immense. It's green, its leaves are green all year round. Hallelujah. Those leaves also keep the heat from touching the palm tree as well. It acts as protection, and anybody can take shade underneath it. Jeremiah 17:7 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, or the woman, and whose hope is in the Lord. For they shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear heat when it comes. But its leaf is green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." In Timothy, it tells us, be ready in season and out of season. Are we ready at any moment in our lives to supply what is needed for somebody else in their life? Are we ready to provide fruit for somebody to feed off in season and out of season? Praise God. And thirdly, the palm tree is incredibly flexible whilst being incredibly strong and very easy to transplant. I've got a couple of slides up here. If we can put the first one up quickly. Look at those palm trees. That was a photo taken in a massive storm, as you can imagine. They're coconut palms, I believe. They can bend almost horizontal or go sideways without breaking. Incredibly flexible and incredibly strong. They're not made like other trees. You and I are not like other trees. Other trees have rings in their trunks. The palm tree is made up of foam layers through its system, and almost like telephone cables going right up through the middle of it, allowing it to bend in extreme weather conditions and not snap. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I have felt in some cases in my life, some seasons, that I was going to snap. Yeah. But I'm still here, so obviously I didn't. But I have felt like it. Anybody else felt like you were going to snap? Yeah? Yeah? But we've been created to bend. Yes. Hallelujah. We are incredibly flexible. Just don't be rigid. Don't be stiff. Stiff-necked, hard-hearted, the Bible calls it. We got to be flexible. The date palm. Put a picture of the date palm up, please. That's the next one. These are the ones that I believe Rob used to farm when he was in Israel. These can grow up to 69 to 75 feet tall. They're very, very sturdy trunks. They're much thicker, much harder, much denser. Very strong. But they can also bend up to 40 to 50 degrees. Whoa, that's 45, isn't it? So they can bend like this in the wind, if they have to. What are we like as Christians? Do we get so rigid because we don't like what so-and-so's doing? We don't like what so-and-so's saying? Or have we got to do this again? How rigid are we? Or how flexible are we in our Christian lives? Hallelujah. I'll say that again. The leaves are 13 to 20 feet long. That's a lot of shade. That's a lot of protection for those underneath it. How flexible are we? Can we move with the wind without splintering? Can we bend to another's will without breaking? Can we trust the Master Gardener to uproot us if needed and replant us wherever he chooses? And Dave, I want you to come up here and just share very quickly. Palm trees, because of their root systems, and I think Rob might be sharing this, I don't know, they have a ball system. So the top roots are very, very short and fibrous. So they cling to the top surface of the soil and they have a ball system underneath. Am I nearly there, yeah? Awesome. I'm impressing Rob. If nothing else today, I've impressed Rob. Awesome. It means that they can be easily dug out of the ground and lifted up and planted elsewhere. And the palm tree is so easy to transplant, even though it's already grown quite a lot and got established where it was. It can be picked up and moved and flourish in another area. Hallelujah. And I got proof. David Kemp is my living proof.
Okay. Yeah. Somewhere around 1981.
The Lord loves you.
Still.
Right.
Whilst on holiday in Torbay, we purchased a small Coeur d'Alene Australis, an Australian cabbage palm. Right? And we planted it near the top of our garden. Can we have the first one? Sorry. Okay. No. We haven't got that's not the one. That's not my back garden. Wish it was. Sorry. Yeah. She had them.
Oh, okay.
Right. Okay. We'll carry on. Don't worry. If they'll catch up with us later. By 1993, right, it was about 2 meters tall. And to create a new rockery, I dug it up. I was surprised by the smallness of the root system, which appeared totally inadequate for its height. Lorraine wasn't happy. with my opinion that it had reached the end of its life in our garden. I was convinced that trying to plant it at the bottom of the garden was a waste of effort. However, to prove it wouldn't survive, I relocated it and waited for it to wither away. Lorraine was right. I was wrong. May I make a note that last week I was right and Lorraine was wrong. Another thing, yeah. We're a team. Right. Sorry, I lost my place now.
Lorraine was right.
Right, that's right. We'll emphasise that point. Right. In 2010, it did survive. And in 2009, it was around about 5.5 metres tall. Right. Now, in November 2010, there was an intense period of very hard frost. And causing the crowns of my palm to die. I left it hoping it might revive, but 2012 I cut it down. To my surprise, I can't get rid of it. It began, shoots began growing from the base again. Right. We moved house in 2014. Sorry, I did have some slides that hasn't worked. Right. We moved house in 2014, and the new family actually made a feature of this palm tree. And it was still great. We went back to the house and took a photograph of it. Now, if you want evidence about this palm tree, if you sit in Wicks's car park, you can see the palm tree. Lorraine went to prove it was still there and got a photograph on her phone. It appears to be progressing towards its former stature. Relocation and severe conditions were not going to deter this palm. Instead, it took advantage of its new environment. Amen. So may we.
So if you take anything from this, yeah, Lorraine is right. And your source of supply, it's internal. It's within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Christ lives within you. Yeah? You can draw from him at any moment, at any time. You are evergreen. You've been created evergreen. You're able to go through every season and your leaf will not wither or fade. Yeah? And you can produce fruit when it's needed in abundance. And lastly, you're so flexible. You're more flexible than you think you are. You've been created to be flexible. You've been created to weather any kind of storm. Any kind of storm. You will bend with it. You might feel under stress when you're bending, but you will stand back upright. Because the righteous will flourish like a palm tree.
Awesome. I'm reminded that when I was younger, it sounds crazy, yeah? When I was younger, we went into this gym class once, and this instructor said to me, he said, I can get you to put your chest on the floor within 5 minutes, legs apart, sitting down, chest on the floor. Now, if I said that to you all today, by the end of this session, walk out there, we will, at the end of this session, we'll have a bit of a stretch outside, and all of you will put your chest on the floor, you'd probably laugh at me. What was really interesting is I couldn't do it on my own. But within 5 minutes, the way he helped me stretch, my chest was on the floor. And something happens in family. There's more, you're more flexible than you think you are when you're actually amongst a group of people, because others help you stretch to the place that you've got to stretch to. You do it alone and you break. You do it alone and it overwhelms you. But I want to say this to you. Trust the story. Trust his story. Keep coming back that God is a good God, and he's for you, and he's not against you. He wants us to flourish. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Trust the story. Keep trusting the story. Joshua chapter 1, and I'm just going to jump through a few verses. If you're there, we read it last week, but I just feel we got to go, and I just got to revisit this to part of the story. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Sometimes we have to leave things behind. We're not talking about a person. We're talking about a generational thinking and a season. It's done. And I love to reminisce about old things. Some of us keep ornaments in our house reminding us of old things. They're not bad at all, but when the old thing begins to dominate and stop you from moving into what is new, you are in danger of stagnating and becoming ineffective. It is as simple as that. The good old days, of course they were good, but these days are good as well. We're facing some of the toughest times we will ever walk in, but these days are good ones. Why? Because God is for us. And if he is for us, who can be against us? It's just, you know, the simpleness of Scripture. Now arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people into the land that I am giving to them. We're not doing the next season for ourselves. We're doing it for them, of those that are to come. When you do something for somebody else, selfishness has to go, and you have to look at the bigger story. Jesus did not hang on that cross because he was like, oh, this is a great idea just for myself. He said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. We need to take ground in our generation so the next generation doesn't have to pay for what we should have paid for. And that happens too much in the church. Every place, verse 3, that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. And he then maps out the land and says, this is what I've given to you. Verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people, Liberty Church, you will cause this people out there, see it. You will cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only this, only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do everything that God has called us to do. Don't turn from the right or to the left, verse 7, so that you may have good success. Go down to verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. And over the past few weeks, if you've heard right, your spirit has begun to stir and go, God, there's something coming. It's not something better than what was. It's just something new that we're going to walk into. You feel crushed because there's a new wine. You want to get the oil out of an olive. It's not the same as a grape. You know, we can crush a grape with our lips. You are not crushing an olive with your lips. The pressure needed to crush an olive in order to get the oil out of it is immensely more. And so we feel like that. And God's having this conversation with Joshua, saying, I'm having this conversation, be strong and courageous. Joshua then, from verse 19, goes amongst the people and actually starts with the influencers. Are you an influencer in this place today? Are you a catalyst of influence today? And which way are you going to influence the people? Which way are you going to take the people? Are you going to take them towards or are you going to take them away? You have to decide. You have to decide, because unity is not us sitting in a building. Unity is a voice together. Unity says, this is what we will do, and I will take my place in the story, and this is what we're going to do together. And Joshua commanded, verse 10, the officers, the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days, this is what we're doing. We're going over there, and we're going to strategically take ground. And then as they go on, he stops amongst the people, and you can read the rest of the verses, and he says, I know that some of you are promised different lands. I know that some of you are going to go to different spaces and establish what God needs to establish there. But for right now, he says, won't we go and all do this together first so that we can do that successively? There's always a priority in the order of the things of God. We do this first, then we do that, then we do this, and so on and so forth. We as a church together are called to go and take some ground and make some space in order for what is going to take place. Amen. We are. And if we don't, then we lose. And the generation to come will lose. There are significant Kairos moments that happen in our lives, and we need to take them and take the ground that we're called to take. God is kind. He is patient. He stretches it. If you're just trying to figure it out, God is so kind and patient. But when we deliberately disobey and not walk in the things of God, we're walking in another story. How do we know the things of God? We come in counsel. We hear each other's voices in it. And watch what happens in verse 16. He's told the influencers. The influencers have gone amongst the people and said, this is where we're going. The people have said, okay. It says, and then Joshua. And they answer Joshua, all that you have commanded, we will do. And wherever you send us, we'll go. Just as we obeyed Moses, we will do this. Go right down to the bottom. Last line of verse 18, only be strong and courageous. God speaks to Joshua. Joshua speaks to the influencers. The influencers speak to the people. The people speak back to everybody else. You see, this is not about one person going, we can do this. This is actually about all of us. We can do this. We're in this together. So where's the windows and where's the doors? What does that mean? Well, look around. Not everybody's back, and not everybody's back from holiday. When you're 80% full, you're full. We're full. There's almost 45 kids downstairs doing what they're doing. So we need space in order to come back to the culture and create the culture of what God has called us to be. Three groups of people in this last season. Those who used to dwell here at the Gare, that church. Those who used to was part of Liberty, that's people. And all of you who are joining the journey, that group of people. Three streams coming in together. We have to reestablish what God has called us in our culture after COVID and everything else. You can't do that in multiple services. You can't do that asking teams to keep on going. You do that on a Sunday morning in a group celebrating together. You do that in a prayer meeting in the week. You do that in coffee morning. You do that in mother and toddlers here. You do that in youth provision. You do that in your homes when we gather together. This season, three significant things. This place is going to be populated. Youth is back on a Friday night. I'm excited for that this season. Liberty Lambs is going to be back on a whatever day that is going to be in this season. Yes, we're going to have coffee mornings. Yes, there's going to be prayer meetings. We're going to have the leaders of this whole region in this building, worshiping and celebrating and planning what is going to take place for our whole region right here in this arrow that goes out to the rest of the places. This is what God has called this space to be. It's going to be populated. It is going to be populated. And for a season as well, we're going to have to just come away from here on a Sunday morning in order that we can have the space to recreate the culture. How quick does this happen? It happens quick. They said in 3 days we're going away from this. I'm going to tell you in 6.5 days we're going away from this for now, for a season. So what does that mean practically? Next Sunday morning, God willing, and I say God willing because anything changes. Blessed are the flexible. We're going to meet back at Llanwern High School on Sunday morning for our 10:30 a.m. service. That's what we're going to do. For some, that is like, oh my goodness, how are we going to do this? We've never been there before. It's okay. Let's trust the story and do that. We are called together as a people. We need space. If you're full, the mentality looks at it and go, there's no space for me. But we have to leave something in order to grow something, in order to come back and populate something. Part of that journey is we know that we are called in this next year, in this next academic year, we are going to plant in an area that needs, you cannot export a culture that you don't have. The danger is we can send out a group and go and do this. But if we don't know who we truly are together, we're going to send out the wrong thing and we're going to make it wobble. So there is a group of people from September who are going to start to prepare, and we're going to start to tell you what that's all about, what a church plant is going to look like. Oh, Heath, we don't need a church plant. We just need a big church. No, we don't need a big church. We need a multiplying story where people belong, where people belong, and they know who they are and they have a space. Yes, we'll gather together probably once every 6 weeks and celebrate as that. Then we're going to gather across the region once every 3 months with churches and churches, and we're going to celebrate. You got to pray. Newport Center's being knocked down. We don't have an auditorium together. So the next biggest thing I can think in the middle of the town is the stadium. That's what I think is the next biggest thing. What does it look like to worship in that stadium where they play football and rugby together? None of you are very excited about that. I'm pumped about that. It's not the be-all. It's an event in a way. But there's something about the church gathered, singing hymns and songs to Him, worshiping Him. Somebody said, let's go out of town to the big old arena. I'm like, I don't think we should go out of town. I think we should be in town. I think we've got to be in the center of who we are. We're tired of hiding. We're not called to hide. And in this next season, Liberty Church, our homes are going to erupt with life. And that's going to be any time of the day or night. We are going to have small groups that are going to come back. We are going to gather together to eat together, not look awkward in Christian circles together and not quite sure who's praying or not praying. There's going to be life and life in abundance and fellowship. That is what, if I read my Bible in Acts chapter 2, it says, and they devoted themselves to fellowship. This ain't fellowship. If your only meeting place for the saints is Sunday morning, we've got something wrong. This should be but a slice of the pie. The actual bigger story is, what does your dining room table look like? What does my home look like? What does it look like to have some other families over with children? It's a little bit crazy. What does it look like? Friday afternoon, pizza afternoon in the gospel. I don't know. What does it look like? God is calling us for a season to occupy a bigger space so we can get everybody together and to make space for those who come. You build it, they come. That's the reality of what happens. But it's for a season. For a season. God is calling us to plant, and that'll come. God is calling us to occupy our homes again, and I think that'll stay. I can't tell you when the school begins and ends. It's kind of like that Wadi picture. I can see so far, we can see so far, and what's at the end of it. For some, that's a big deal. To move from a location across town. But I want to encourage you today, part of our story, we're not just a local house. We're a house that God called us to be, and that's a nation-building house. Father. If you are in this for one zone, you've missed the picture. We are called to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Some of you need to get a passport. Honestly, get a passport. Make sure it's valid. And I'll tell you why. Not because everybody needs to go, but there's something that happens when you put your feet on somebody else's soil and you see something else. It changes your perspective of your local. In the months to come, Greece will restart. We'll be going there. Nepal will rehappen. We'll be going there. We plant a church there. We're about to expand in that place. It's going to happen. But today, I want you to watch a video. And to some of you, like, wow, what's happening? There's a couple in our church, Rob and Christine, they're sitting there. And they've been on a journey with us. And they're on a journey, not across town with us, but across nations with us. Is that video ready?